Thank you. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of death among African Americans. And so it's essential that we take a look at how this impacts our lives and what we do when we are working with and counseling with individuals from this population. Notice the colon there, and you'll see that this part here is the ascending, that is the transverse, that is the descending, the sigmoid, the rectum, and the anus. We'll come back to that a little later on. This study involved African Americans over the age of 50, and this is our research team. And we were in collaboration with Albany State University in Albany, Georgia, who assessed the rural population, whereby we in Huntsville, Alabama, assessed the urban population. Our task was to identify 250 participants, and each from 125 from the rural, 125 from the urban population. They were to be male and female over the age of 50 and African Americans. They were divided into two groups. It's an experimental research design. So 50% of them were in an experimental group and 50% in a control group. The training was for 4 weeks, 2 hours each week, and involved an orientation with both groups, and then group B, the control group, was dismissed, returned 4 weeks later for the same type of training provided in group A. And they were brought back each week for 2 hours for training. In that training, we provided an assessment of their attitude, their knowledge, and their health practices, because that is what we wanted to measure, to see if we could make any change there that would reduce the impact of colorectal cancer. The training was extensive. It involved videotapes using guest speakers, providing numerous handouts on everything from what you can eat and what you shouldn't eat that might contribute to colorectal cancer. We looked at the different type of medical professions and so forth. We wanted to make sure that they understood the healthcare team and how many people are involved in the healthcare team. And it was surprising that so many of them didn't understand the role of the primary care physician or who a gastroenterologist was. So we provided handouts that made very clear who these people are, because once you get involved with colorectal cancer, a whole team of people become a part of your life, and we wanted them to understand what these people's roles are in their health or lack of health. There are four diagnostic procedures that we made very clear to them are important to understanding and detecting colorectal cancer. The fetal occult blood test is one that is used most frequently by most doctors, but yet measures less than 5% of colorectal cancer in individuals. The barium enema is an X-ray procedure, and all the other three, barium, sigmoidoscopy, and colonoscopy, require a laxative preparation the day before in order to clean the gastrointestinal tract out. The barium enema then is the barium is injected into the body, and then X-rays are taken to look for polyps. The sigmoidoscopy, remember the first slide, you had the ascending, transverse, and descending colon. And at the bottom of the descending colon, you had the sigmoid. Well, the sigmoidoscopy only measures the sigmoid, the anus, and the rectum. So you leave the other part of the colon vulnerable to developing colon cancer. So then colonoscopy, the gold standard, is the one that we wanted to make sure that they understood the importance of, because that will measure any polyps in any part of the colon, the ascending, transverse, and descending colon. And that one would detect the highest percentage of those who might possibly be vulnerable to colorectal cancer. If polyps do appear, those polyps are removed during that procedure. So our hope is that more people would get that colonoscopy. If they had the fetal occult blood test and it was positive, it could be a false positive. If they had the barium enema, it could be positive, but that's only about 30% that it might show up in. If they had the sigmoidoscopy, it could be positive, but remember, that's only the lower one-third of the colon. If they had any of those and they were positive, they still have to go to the colonoscopy. So why not get the colonoscopy first and be done with it? Once the colonoscopy is done, if there's no polyp or no symptoms of colorectal cancer, then they're free for about 5 years. 5 to 10 years, 7 to 10 years in some case, depending upon their physician. If there's a family history of colorectal cancer, then they may need to go back in 3 years. But then there again, it's not that difficult of a procedure, and it's one that can save their lives. Identifying participants was very, very challenging for us in the rural population in Georgia as well as in the urban population in Alabama. When these are some of the places that we contacted, we distributed thousands of flyers, used radio talk shows and all kinds of media in order to outreach to the population. We spoke in churches and identified populations from everywhere we could, from senior citizen centers, from public housing places. You would think that for a study as serious as this, people would be running to find out the information, but what we find is people are really running away from finding out anything negative or anything problematic, as though if they didn't know about it, it wouldn't bother them so much. But if you know about colonoscopy and colorectal cancer, the sooner you find out, the better your chances of living a long and healthy life. Data was analyzed using SPSS and was collected on the rural and the urban population. The same instruments were used for both. And then data was aggregated. It was analyzed separately and then aggregated. One question we asked at our very final session when we were doing an evaluation was to tell us a little bit about your family history. What members of your family actually had colorectal cancer or any form of colon cancer? We found out the largest percent, 24% of them, had a mother with colon cancer, 16% a brother, 14% a father, 13% an aunt, and the fall off was substantial after that. But to know that there are family members in more than 53% of the participants was quite revealing to us. We had demographic data from both urban and rural. The population in the urban pool was a little bit more female than in the rural population. The ages in the urban population for this study were older. We had more older people in our study, those that must be much more accessible to Medicare and Medicaid services. The rural population had their largest age population between the ages of 55 and 59. The education among the urban population was a little bit higher than in the rural population, and the education among the urban population included more people with advanced degrees than the rural population. So in experimental research, you know there are a number of hypotheses. In the interest of time, I won't go over those because some of them will be revealed in the results. The three tests, the knowledge test, attitude test, and health practices, were the ones that we analyzed. Looking at the number of people likely to obtain colorectal cancer, we found that 79% and 93% in the experimental group, 79% in the control group, were more likely to receive a colonoscopy within the next 12 months following the training. Looking at the urban and the rural population and asking them after we did the training whether they did get a colonoscopy, we found that 48% of them said yes in the rural population, and 51% of them said yes in the urban population. When asked them, did you get a CRC screening procedure while you were attending the CRC intervention program, 8% said yes. If they'd already had it before, then it stands to reason that they're not going to have it during the training. But there were some who, during that four-week training period, had scheduled to have their colonoscopy. And in the urban population and the rural population, it was a little bit different. More of the rural population were likely to get screening. When looking at, did you get CRC screening procedure, after you finish the training, we find that 21% said yes in the urban population, 26% said yes in the rural population. When we asked them what kind of intervention did they have, what kind of screening did they have, we found that 64% of the urban and 61% of the rural population did opt to get the colonoscopy or had that procedure as opposed to the sigmoidoscopy, barium enema fecal. But that was good, but not good enough. We still wanted more of them to get a colonoscopy. When looking at whether they had changed their healthy lifestyle, we noticed a difference, a little bit of a difference in the urban. 92% of them and 94% in the rural did change their healthy lifestyle. We taught them all kinds of healthy lifestyle things, from how to cook food differently, to how to select food when they shop, to the kind of foods that they ate. And so we noticed that the changes that they were making were based upon some of the intervention provided. And looking at those choices that they had to make, changing their lifestyle, changing eating habits, eating vegetables and fruits and eating meats and so forth, in the urban population, a larger percentage of them were making healthy lifestyle changes along those lines recommended and trained, as opposed to the rural population. They were making changes too, but not to the magnitude that the urban population were making changes. Did the healthy lifestyle change that you learned in the CRC training help you take better care of yourself? 94% of the urban said yes. 94% of the rural said yes. That was gratifying. If they encouraged other people, because we wanted our intervention to go far beyond the 250 people in our study, and if each one teaches one, we can certainly make a difference. 72% of the urban said yes, they were encouraging others, and 88% of the rural. So we found out the rural people were talking a little bit more to their friends and family than the urban people were. Some of our findings reveal that through the training, knowledge was gained. A substantial amount of knowledge was gained. That was significant, and attitude did change. The health practices did not change, or not that significantly different between the urban and the rural. That surprised us. There was a significant difference observed for the location main effect in the knowledge and attitude test. However, no significant difference in the main effect of the health practices. What lessons did we learn? While achieving modest improvements in healthcare practices, attitude, and knowledge, the intervention may take follow-up strategies to further motivate more participants to get early screening. Attracting African Americans to participate in health-related studies requires extensive outreach, and this is true with many culturally diverse populations. There are still people smarting from studies like the syphilis study that had such adverse impact upon the culture some years back. And so we have to rise above that barrier and continue to bridge the gap in knowledge among people, particularly culturally diverse populations, who need to know but are somewhat hesitant. The study is very broad, and another lesson we learn is that with a limited amount of funding, there's only a limited amount that you can do. But you do that which you can do, and you do it to the best of your ability, and you will reap the rewards. Policy implications. Quality improvement and dissemination of knowledge, change in healthcare practices, and influence on attitude about colorectal cancer directed toward African-American populations needs much more attention, not only on the local level, but on the national level. Although it's not a popular topic to talk about, it is one that is very important and must be done. And participants will improve their healthcare practices. They will seek medical attention early. They will understand how to interact with healthcare professionals when they know. When they know what the screening procedures are, they will do what they can to minimize colorectal cancer. And I thank you very much for your time.